Okay, good morning, all. So we're up to Perek Beis, Chapter 2, Mishnah Gimel over here. So the question is what is the status of a loan that happens before Pesach if Chametz is used as collateral? So Nachri, Shehilva is Israel al Chametz. So let's say a non-Jewish person lent a Jewish person money before Pesach, relying on the Jewish person's chametz, he says that please use this as collateral, and the idea is that the Jew is going to pay back the loan after Pesach. So over Pesach, the chametz, it's a little bit unclear who it actually belongs to, because since it is collateral for the Jewish person's loan that he took out from the non-Jew, so achar Pesach mutar bahana. So if the Jewish person does not pay back the loan on time, then the collateral essentially defaults, and the chametz is then permitted, that a person can get benefit after Pesach from it, because essentially, it becomes that retroactively, the non-Jewish person was the owner of this chametz, and therefore you're allowed to get benefit from this chametz after Pesach. Seemingly, the only way that this case works is that the non-Jewish person has had to have held the chametz as collateral the entire time. If the non-Jewish person was not holding the chametz as collateral, then seemingly this doesn't work. So again, if the Jewish person defaults on the loan, then the chametz becomes permitted after Pesach to get benefit from, assuming that the non-Jewish person had it in his possession. What about the opposite case? So let's say a Jewish person lent a non-Jewish person money before Pesach, and again, the non-Jewish person's chametz is considered collateral for the loan. So achar Pesach asur bahana. So if the non-Jewish person does not repay the loan on time, so the same thing. So since retroactively it becomes that the chametz belonged to the Jew the entire Pesach, so therefore the chametz is then you cannot get benefit from it after Pesach, because that essentially it becomes clear that a Jewish person owns chametz over Pesach, and therefore would be prohibited to use that, as we said, because you cannot use chametz that a Jewish person owned over Pesach. What about chametz shenafla alav mapolas? What do you if you have chametz that there was like a whole rune collapsed on it? It was just totally buried underneath something. Think of it like, imagine your heavy china cabinet that you can't move. If you need 10 people moving it, you just can't move it. So imagine you had chametz fall behind there. So are you obligated for chametz that was behind that on Pesach? So har yu kumavar. The Mishnah says that it says if it was destroyed, nonetheless, we still paskin nowadays that you do have to nullify it, right? Well, we say the text, you have to nullify it, but nonetheless, midoraisa, on a Torah level, seemingly, it's considered as if it's destroyed, because no one's going to actually access it. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel wants to qualify this. What is the definition of that a nafal alav mapolos, that it's totally blocked out? As long as a dog is not able to like sniff it out and search for it and unearth it, then that's considered as if something as if it's so blocked away that no one can actually access it, and therefore on a Torah level, again, this would not it would not need to be taken out and destroyed. Mishnah Dalet, ha'ochel trumas chametz ba'pesach b'shogig. So when it comes to eating truma, so we know that kohanim obviously are allowed to eat truma, but non-kohanim are not allowed to eat truma. So the law generally is that a non-kohen person who eats truma, if he does it accidentally, then he has to pay back. Well, let's see the mission. So, ha'ochel trumas chametz ba'pesach b'shogig. If a person eats truma that is chametz on Pesach accidentally, so says the Mishnah, Meshayim Karen v'chomesh. This person has to pay back the principal plus 1/5 of the principal cost of the truma. And the reason why is because even though truma on Pesach, even though chametz on Pesach is considered valueless, since he did it accidentally, then he has to pay back the entire price of the truma plus an extra 1/5. However, b'meiz, let's say he does it on purpose. So again, so now that we learn that, now we can learn the general law. So if a person eats a piece of truma, a person who's not a kohen eats a piece of truma not on Pesach, if he does it accidentally, then he has to pay back the entire price plus an extra 1/5. If he does it knowingly, that he purposely ate the truma when he should not have been eating it, again, on a regular day of the year, then he has to just pay back the actual price. So since when he did it unknowingly, when he ate the truma unknowingly, it was an accident, and then he has to pay back the entire price plus a 1/5. But if he does it b'mezid, patur mitashlum, he doesn't have to pay back anything. And the reason why, he's even exempt from paying the amount of the truma, even if the truma was used as firewood. Because at the end of the day, since when a person eats the truma in a regular regular case, and he does it knowing that he only has to pay back the actual price of the truma, since on Pesach the truma is valueless because it's chametz truma, then in that situation he is exempt from paying anything at all. But again, if it's a case where he unknowingly ate it, then he has to pay back the entire price of the truma plus the extra 1/5, because the whole idea is that he's not actually paying back the value of the truma. He's just paying back this general fee of the entire price plus an extra fifth. Okay, we'll stop right here. God willing, tomorrow continue with Mishnah. Well, next week, God willing, continue with Mishnah Hay.